Hello. Thank you for tuning into the For What For Who podcast. My name is Courtney Croucher, and I'm really excited to have you here. I've always been obsessed with self-development and pop culture and everything that influences how we live our lives, which is why we're here today, because I believe that with everything you do, every decision you make, for what, for who, my intention is for this to be a resource for people who want to have better relationships, health, professional growth, balance in your lives, and self-love. Subscribe to hear my journey along with special guests every Monday for a blunt approach to living life unapologetically on your terms. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the episode. Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome to Sad Girl September. Can you fucking believe that it's fall already? Now, the air is crisp and it is making me tingle in multiple ways, but it's still freaking me out that we're in fall. It's really freaky and it's like back to school season and shit's changing. It's just a little odd. But here we are. I am entering an entirely new season of my life. I feel like I've shared a little bit before, but if you're new to listening or if you haven't listened in a while or you just need a refresh, I moved from Vancouver to Ontario. I'm back in my, you know, home city, I guess, for the time being, just hanging out with my dad and commuting to Toronto until I find a place. And I just signed a job offer in tech sales, which was a really exciting opportunity for me because, if, as some of you know, I did leave my previous position and decided to change industries and really just make a complete change. And, you know, that was a really hard decision to make. And I have been dabbling with going back and forth and running through the scenario of wondering if I made the right decision. And I feel like it's really tough to make those really hard choices for ourselves, especially when not everybody understands them, right? Like, why would you leave a good job? Why would you leave Vancouver? You were so happy. Why, right? But we have to do what's best for us. And I think that for me, those few things were just not good for me in the long run, and I knew that I needed to make adjustments accordingly. And in the meantime, though, of that transitional phase, it's been so fucking uncomfortable. I felt like I took a bit of a confidence blow, like my ego was a little bit hurt by my own self because of these changes and almost this like identity crisis of wondering, okay, what does this mean about who I am to the world? You know, did I just blow up my life entirely? And am I going to regret this? Right? Like these are things that have been truly running through my head and it's tough to grapple with, but I have been sharing a lot about change on social media and stuff like that because I think it's such an interesting topic when we talk about it versus when we do it, right? When we choose hard decisions to make, it can be a really strange, it can be a strange like sensation in your mind and body and soul of like knowing what's best for you, but then that short-term discomfort that makes you panic and makes you lead with more fear and wonder if you just fucked up, right? But the thing is, when we're scared to make the quote-unquote right or wrong decision, we're so detached or so attached to the outcome that we are going to lead with that scarcity mindset and that fear. But when we detach from the outcome and just know that it's all just part of the bigger picture, then I think that we get a deeper sense of clarity and confidence about what our life is supposed to look like. And I say supposed to very gently, more of the way that it's just your journey. Like it's not going to be always a one road, right? It starts to, you take a different turn. You might get a little lost in the forest, but then you get back on the path. And it's all just unique to you and what your story is going to look like. And none of it's right or wrong. I think it's really important to remind ourselves of that. And that's actually what's carried me to want to talk about this topic today, which is loving yourself through all of the stages, you know, all of the phases of life, all of the different seasons. And I especially need to hear this. Like I'm recording this podcast with me, myself, and I in mind because we are so hard on ourselves when we don't feel like we aren't where we should be. So for example, you know, oh, I'll be happy once I lose a couple pounds. I'll be happy once I get the job. I'll be happy once I'm making this amount of money. I'll be happy once I have this kind of apartment. I'll be happy once I have this kind of relationship. I'll be happy once I have a closet that looks like a fucking Pinterest board. I'll be happy, blah, 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 blah. I'll be happy when. And it's not even just happy in life. It's like, I'll be happy with myself. And that's so damaging when you think of what we do to ourselves, of these conditions that are also determined by our own selves, that are, of course, influenced by external things. But at the end of the day, we've put this pressure and this value on certain conditions in our lives for us to be allowed to love ourselves. Now, I'm sure some of you can relate to this in some sort of way of having that moment where you're in this transitional season or you're just not feeling like you're where you want to be. And so you get really down on yourselves, you know, you negative self-talk, your own worst critic, you kind of beat yourself up, you start to spiral. It can really bring us into like the most insecure vibrations that we have ever experienced just by our own fucking minds. Like, it's not, I think when it's a relationship and stuff like that, that's a different thing to navigate, even though it's still internal and still something we typically have to work through solo. I think when it comes to like loving yourself through all of the stages, it's like going through this life journey and constantly berating ourselves with the worst things we could ever say to ourselves. And that also can help us, or, you know, perpetuate us to self-sabotage, because then we don't feel deserving of whatever blessings are about to come in our lives, whatever opportunities, whatever it may be. And then we're looking back on that self-sabotaging choice or whatever it may be. And then you're even further insecure and feeling like shit because, you know, you feel like you keep doing this to yourself. And that's where that cycle kicks in, right? If you think of all of the different stages and phases and seasons in our lives, imagine if you could like tell that former younger version of yourself some words of wisdom and some love, how that girl would have maybe made it through that time a little bit easier. Like, if I loved myself just a little bit more during that phase, would that have made a difference? And I think reflecting on that's really important, because I know for me, when I think of some of the toughest times in my life, I wasn't loving myself enough. And we talk about self-love so much in our society. It's such a huge buzzword. You know, it's in the magazines, it's on Twitter, it's on TikTok, you know, soft life, you know, healing girl era. But when it comes to the self-love, when times are tough and when we're not looking like our glorified versions of ourselves online, that's, I think, where things get tricky, especially when it comes to feeling that deserving enough when we're not where we want to be. Maybe just think about this right now. There's something in your life that you're feeling like you're missing, that you're without right now. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's a partner, maybe it's a puppy, maybe it's a bag, maybe it's a savings account, a house, whatever it may be. And you're fixating on this thing that you don't have. If you think of like the law of attraction and manifestation, when you're fixating on what you don't have, you're creating that lack, you're creating that scarcity mindset, and your mind and your body don't know time. So if you're fixating on this thing that you don't have and you're taking up all this time, energy, and space, you're creating this reality that's basically making it never yours, which is like a really weird concept and probably sounding woo-woo shit, but when you think of the thing that's keeping us held back, it's typically our own selves. And what I mean by this, let's say you're working towards a goal of an amazing job opportunity. Sure. Okay, so you're in a job right now. I'm going to speak to someone who hates their job. So, Cheryl, I'm choosing Cheryl. I have no idea why that name popped up in my brain. But Cheryl writes into me saying that she fucking hates her job. All she wants is to be a marketing director of a big online brand. She knows that she could do it. It's her dream job. She knows that it would bring her a lot more money and financial stability, and it would just light her freaking fire. But right now, she's an intern in PR, and she's trying to climb her way up. What I would tell that Cheryl is to, one, take a breath, because I think so many of us, including myself, are wanting to skip to the next level, rush the process, and grow up so fucking fast. Like, I'm only 24, but when I look back at even just like my 18-year-old self, what I would tell that girl is to slow down. I so deeply understand in wanting to skip over the discomfort, skip over the shittier events in our lives, the shittier times, right? But without those times, we're not who we are when we come out stronger because of it. When we come out on the other side, when we reflect on those bad times and are able to have more gratitude for the good times, for the good days, for when shit gets better and things are finally aligning, you go, oh my God, it's finally working out. Do you know that feeling? Because I do. And it's the best feeling, but it only feels like the best because we've experienced that hurt and that pain and that just frustration of where we're at. And so when things finally start to feel better, we start to get addicted and chase that feeling, right? But to sit in the actual discomfort is so, so tough. And to ask ourselves to have patience can feel virtually impossible when you so badly just want to grab what you're intending, right? So Cheryl wants this marketing director position, and she's currently a PR intern. And let's say she's making minimal money, like, I don't know, $30,000 a year, and she wants to be making like $150,000. And she knows that this director position would get her to that, but right now she's nowhere near that. What I would tell Cheryl is, one, like I said earlier, take a breath. Number two, I would tell her to write out the skills of what you think that a marketing director would need to be in that position. What kind of skills do you need? What kind of network would you need to build up? You know, what would be required to be in that position? And start to make a list and start to like hone in on some of those skills. I think there's so much to learn, and we think in that moment, and I'm sure, like, I never want anyone to doubt their skill set, because honestly, the wildest shit when you grow up is like realizing that most people have no idea what they're doing and anyone can do anything. Like, if you want to be a Broadway star, like, yeah, you could train day in and day out to do that. Now, I personally sound like a dying cat singing, so I don't know that it's my calling, but I'm sure that if I gave it every part of my effort, that I could sound a little less like I'm dying and a little bit more like I might know how to sing, maybe with some insane amount of lessons and a lot of dance training and some serious acting skills. I mean, I'm pretty dramatic, but I don't know if it really relates to the stage. But if you really gave it your all, I'm sure you could be great, right? Now, some people have some natural born talent and other people just have hard work. If you look at different people's stories, like whether they're, you know, famous in music or acting or in business, whatever it may be, if you look at people who have had success in their life, hearing their stories, it's so fascinating to hear how they got to where they want to be, right? One random example that's coming to mind that I always find super inspiring is the one about Michael Jordan, the Netflix documentary series. It's so good. I think it's called The Last Dance. I watched it a couple years ago, but I found that, like, I should actually watch it again because I found that so wildly inspirational. Even though that basketball isn't something that I watch every single day, I have an appreciation for it and I love the players. But there was just something about his story that was so beautiful to see, of how, you know, he had all these doubters and he just day in, day out, practice and never fucking gave up. He stayed so consistent and he's the greatest of all time, you know? So when you think of what you could continue to hone in on and have that patience and fine tune all of those skills, then you'd be ready for the big leagues once that opportunity comes, right? I also think that doing that helps you build more confidence to be able to feel deserving of a big title. Now, imposter syndrome, I think, is experienced at all levels, but I think that when we continue to do the hard work and continue to put ourselves in challenging positions and discomfort, we start to build up that confidence muscle that in turn helps us recognize growth and, wow, I'm, you know, so much better at XYZ than I was 2 years ago. I think that's a really cool thing to experience. And then number four, I would ask people in that field about their stories. Because like I said, what you never realize is how people have gotten to where they've gotten, and that how you think of success could be completely different. And also, do you actually want that title? Like, why are you so obsessed with becoming a director of marketing? Is it just because you saw like Sophia Amoruso on the cover of hashtag girl boss and you want to look like that, and you thought that that title maybe would get you that? Like, what is it, right? Now, I'm not saying that it's always negative in that way and that we shouldn't want what we want, but I think getting really clear of like what a day-to-day life looks like in that position and enjoying the process of ever climbing up to that. If we think of like our whole lives, let's say that we have 100 years. Now, I don't know statistically how long women live. I feel like it's till like closer to the 80s, and I know men die sooner than we do. So let's say we're actually going to live till 80. I would love 100, but let's say more realistically, we're living till 80 years old. I'm 24. Do you know how long of a gap that is between 24 and 80 years old? It's a lot of years. Now, I feel old, especially when I'm reflecting on these 2000s trends coming back and the fact that kids these days don't know who Rihanna is outside of Fenty makeup, and the fact that they don't know that she used to make music, and the fact that they never lived through the High School Musical and Camp Rock phase. Like, all of those things really freak me the fuck out, I'm not gonna lie. I can't believe One Tree Hill isn't on any of the streaming platforms in Canada. There's a lot of things that I have like attachments to that make me feel very old. But if you think of our grand scheme of things, big picture, if we were to just completely hate ourselves through that entire process until we finally get that title that we're looking for, that house or that car or whatever it is, that'd be years fucking wasted. Like, how sad is that? To me, that's not a life. That's not intentionally living. That's not happiness. And so that's where I think that loving yourself through all of the stages comes into play in whatever it is. Just this random example of Cheryl in marketing is something that I don't know everyone will relate to. And it's definitely not what I relate to. But it's a random example that came off the top of my head, and I think it works. Now, it's so interesting when you talk to people any years older than you. Now, it's weird because, like, I'm 24 now. People in their 30s seem to be so old. Obviously, when I was in, like, high school, you know, when you're 16, 17, 30s feels far, far off. Now I'm, like, almost closer to 30 than I am to my teen years, and that freaks me out. But I guess your perception of older just definitely changes. But when you just speak to anyone with a couple years on you for experience, they'll most likely tell you to enjoy it. Oh my God, be young, have fun, revel in it. Like, you're not going to be in your 20s forever. Now, I think that that can be confusing because when we think of our 20s, it's like, okay, so do we just fuck off and party and have sloppy makeouts and eat McDonald's? Like, is that what it means? Or is it hustle and grind? Like, where is this paradox? Now, I think a great book, if you're feeling that paradox like I have, is The Defining Decade. It's one of the best books I've ever read. There's two versions. There's an original one, and then another version, like an updated one, came out in 2020 or 2021, and it's both are amazing copies, so I would definitely recommend reading those books. I have both of them, and I recommend both of them. So understanding that everyone older than us typically says to enjoy the process, but also if you can even just look back at when you've given yourself grace, how easier it was to get through things. And I think the way that we can only start to shift this, including myself, is to start looking at it external from our own selves, because we can be so fucking mean to ourselves, like literally so vicious, say the worst things that you would never probably say about a stranger. And I know that my internal dialogue can be pretty bitchy, but it's mostly directed towards my own self. And I'm trying to change that. I'm really actively working on that, because I think that for me to become the person I want to be in the future that I want to have, I think it requires me to shift how I talk about myself, because I think that when I'm continuing to do that negative self-talk, it keeps me at bay, right? Like, it keeps me small, and it keeps me from making those big moves that's going to actually get me to where I want to go. Because if you're telling yourself you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, obviously you're going to talk yourself out of it. So being able to replace those thoughts with something way more productive, way more confident, and way more inspirational, I think is going to get us way further. And I've seen it in myself, and now I'm just trying to re-implement these practices to become the best fucking version of myself. So going back to the whole external thing, if you think of like talking to a friend and your friend is telling you that they're so upset because they're not where they want to be, you know, they're working so hard, but it just feels like they're never going to get there. And it just is getting, they're getting impatient. If you were to talk to them how you talk to yourself, would you really tell your friend, oh my God, bitch, you should probably just stop now because you're fucking terrible. You're never going to get there. It's kind of a waste of your time. And even then, you're probably still not going to be happy because that's what you did last time. Like, imagine telling your friend like that. You probably wouldn't be friends, right? Especially if it was on the flip side, if it was on the receiving end. You're telling your friend how you're feeling and your friend's just completely shitting on you verbally. Like, that would feel terrible. I feel awful just trying to like say it out loud for this podcast. So imagine how that's impacting ourselves and our nervous system and how we truly think about ourselves, not only on a conscious level, but a unconscious level. Like, that is where it gets really sticky and gross and just like not something I want to be. But yet I'm talking shit to myself every day. So how do we start to shift that, right? So for me, I'm really starting to focus on catching myself. Number one, like identifying, well, even just acknowledging that I'm talking shitty about myself. And then two, catching myself when it happens, just creating some of that awareness. And then three, practicing affirmations and those like I am statements. So for example, I am rich, I am healthy, I am abundant, I am smart, I am beautiful, I am witty as fuck, like whatever it needs, whatever you need in that day, in that moment, whatever it is. And then I'd say number five is being, was that three or four, five? I think this is actually number four. I would say number four is to take those affirmations and then literally feel what it would be like to embody a person who feels that way about themselves. So not only just saying out loud or even in your own mind, okay, I am beautiful. What does it feel like to feel beautiful? What does it embody, like, what kind of, I don't know, this might get a little woo-woo, but if you think of the, like, light and aura around you, like, are you a black, dark cloud, you know, raining under parade, or are you, like, yellow or white or light pink? Like, what does that look like and feel like in your body? Does it feel warm and fuzzy? Does it make your stomach in knots? Like, you can recognize those different feelings very quickly when you're describing them, right? So if you think of what I am beautiful feels like, imagine when you're, I love these feelings, when you're like walking down the street and you just feel good about yourself and you feel magnetic. And it's not even like the external compliments or anything that gets you feeling that way, but you just know it so deeply within yourself and you feel so good that like nothing could tear you down. And then when someone compliments you, you're just so like accepting of it and like thank you, and you just move on. You don't do that whole self-deprecating like, oh please, like look at you, and you try to deflect and not even take the compliment. Who am I resonating with right now? Because I do this all the time, and it all comes from insecurity. And that's why we have to start figuring out how to change that self-talk and start loving ourselves further. Because if we're continuously trying to skip to when you're in a specific kind of area in your life, feeling a type of way about yourself, whatever, we're losing a lot of time, a lot of moments, and probably making it so much harder on ourselves to go through that period. Especially when we're going through tough shit. Like, nothing's worse than when you're going through tough shit and someone's picking a fight with you. Imagine your partner or best friend, you're like having the worst day, you're crying, you just like can't, you've had it with the day, you've had enough. And then they come to your house and they sit down beside you and they're like, wow, you look like shit. Imagine how horrible that feels, right? And I feel like we're doing that to ourselves all the time, of just like, we've already been experiencing such a tough go. And that is, you know, individual to whoever's listening to this, whatever experience you're going through right now. I know for me, like, I'm going through some hard times, and trying to actively love myself through the process is something that I'm just recently working on. And I feel like I could have enjoyed the last few months of my life so much more if I had just given myself a little bit of the love that I'm telling all of you to give to yourself. Now, if you ask yourself the two most important questions, for what, for who? What am I doing this for? Who am I doing this for? It helps us reframe why we're doing what we're doing, right? And getting clear on that why that gets us out of bed every day. And I think this is so crucial because it reminds us at the end of the day who we are and what we value and what our goals are, and, you know, the person that we not only are, but wanting to continue to be and continue to develop and grow and really like bring us back to ourselves. And so for me, actually, what's so interesting about this is that going through all of these job interviews that I've been having recently, I've had to, of course, tell them about myself and share about my experience and all of these things, right? They really want to know who you are and what you would bring to the team, what your working styles are, what are your weaknesses, your strengths. It feels like fucking dating. It's the weirdest experience. I haven't had that in a long time, and it's been super weird, I'm not going to lie, but it has been super eye-opening because it's allowed me to kind of like reflect on the experiences that I've had up until this point in my career, how it's helped me get to where I've gotten to today, and then also what I value, what I want. It's weird to like be asked those questions, right? Of where do you see yourself in 2 years? I feel like that's a question that makes all of us like kind of our whole vagina clamps up, like, ugh. But where do you see yourself in 2 years? Well, Frank, I want to be, you know, in a higher position in this job. I want to have an amazing life living downtown Toronto. I want a chihuahua. I want to find a loving partner. I want to experience that work-life balance. I would love to be able to work towards, you know, taking 3 weeks off to go to Europe for the summer. Like, random shit, right? Just throwing it out there of like, okay, this is where I'd like to be. Now, of course, I don't like to make such specific plans that when life derails us, we feel like we're so off our horse. But I think that having a little bit more of these intentions and even why we want what we want gets us a little bit closer to what that purpose is that we wake up to each day. And I mean, sometimes the purpose feels a little bit more surface level. Like, let's say, why do you work at where you work? Oh, well, I need to pay the bills. Okay, that makes sense. But there's more to that, right? Because why do we want to progress? If you're, you know, able to cover the bills or whatever, maybe you don't have much extra, or maybe you're okay, you're comfortable, but you know, you could always make more money. It's whatever. Having that, like, I'm sure you're experiencing that in some sort of way, or you've been there before. Or maybe you're really strapped for cash and you're like, fuck, I need to make more money. Or maybe you're making a shit ton of money and you're like, what am I doing this for? I don't even know, like, what to do with this, right? I've been in all of these scenarios, to be honest. And if we get a little bit deeper of what that brings for us, that makes more meaning out of life, right? So if you think of, okay, well, I want to make more money. Okay, great. Why? Well, I would love to have less stress each month. Okay, great. What would that do for you? Well, if I was less stressed, then I'd be able to be more present for myself and my family and my friends. Great. What would that do for you? Well, I value family and friends and relationships, and so that would be living in my values. Oh, okay. It makes sense, right? When you think of the deeper, just continuing to ask yourself why that is, we get a little bit clearer. Now, if we don't know, that's okay, but I would urge you to kind of journal that out of, okay, what am I striving for and why is it? And is this like truly what I want? Does this feel aligned? And how does it feel in my body? Because if you're like thinking of what you want and it's giving you that like icky feeling, then you probably don't want it. And maybe there's like an external circumstance that's encouraging you to want something even though you don't want it. Like, for example, maybe you are debating going back to school and your parents really value education. They think everyone should get a master's degree, but you've already finished your bachelor's and you're like not wanting to go back to school. You don't want to take on more debt or whatever it may be. And you're saying that you want to go get your bachelor's out loud, but like internally it doesn't feel right. And then you get deeper and you're like, oh, maybe I'm doing this to please my parents. Like, that's a tough one to reckon with. But I think when we get in that mode of feeling a little bit more aligned with ourselves, that's not only an act of self-love, but it's also giving us the opportunity to trust ourselves and our intuition and what we know and want out of life a little bit deeper than maybe if we're to try to live for somebody else. And I think that when it comes to the seasons and phases and all of this in our lives that I'm telling you all to love yourself through, I think it's wrapped up in all of these decisions, right? I think fall is always weird for me, and I didn't realize it impacted me so much last year, but living in Vancouver, there wasn't like a huge fall season where you get that like crisp wind and that leaves changing and the pumpkin spice. It's a little bit more like warmer and wet. It's just like rains a lot, gloomy. And I mean, I feel like the leaves did change, but because it was so gloomy and just kind of like gross that I didn't get to appreciate it as much. Where in Ontario, you have that true sense of fall and it goes quick. It's like summer and then you get like, I don't know, 5-6 weeks of amazing autumn and then you're in winter mode. But it's always my favorite time because it's like summer's over, you're gearing up for the last quarter of the year, and it's like back to school. I don't know, there's something about that season that just brings a lot of clarity to me, and the fact that I'm starting a literal new chapter in this season just really does grind my gears in a good way. But I would really encourage yourself to listen to this, listen to what I'm saying, and ask yourself, like, how am I talking to myself? Is it serving me? Does it feel good? Do I wake up every day feeling good about myself, or do I wake up and want to kind of like hate myself every day?
because I have been really bad for this lately. I've been making like really emo, self-deprecating comments. And now that I think about it, they're just like not attractive. And I don't mean this in like the Western like beauty ideal approach, more of just the fact that like if I was around somebody who was constantly making these comments, I would probably just be a little like, ugh, like they need some self-love. Like they need to do some inner work. They need some therapy. And like no one wants to be around that. And I don't mean to say that like you're not allowed to have a bad day or nothing like that. It's more of just like if you're constantly in that energy, like that is negative, and negativity is contagious. It's contagious, right? So when you think of how gross it feels to be talking to yourself like that, if you're also doing that around other people, it kind of starts to repel like people, right? But when you feel confident and you're able to like not only lift yourself up but lift others, it makes you to be such a like attractive person to be around. Just being able to lift others up and make them feel good, like that is when we attract such incredible experiences and people in our lives, and we at the end of the day feel so much better. So I just hope that this resonates with somebody. I've been really going through it, and it's hard for me to just open up about that, because when I started this podcast, I got in my own way of like wanting to be this like expert on confidence and self-love and intentional living. And when I don't feel like I'm living in alignment, I feel like a fraud for having this podcast. But then I remember that it's all part of the story. Like if I didn't have this experience, then I couldn't tell you about living in alignment and intentionally when haven't been out of alignment, right? Like if you haven't suffered, how are you supposed to talk about how to get from A to B if you haven't experienced it yourself? So I'm like learning and teaching through the learning, and that's uncomfortable and it's weird, but I think it has value, because if I think of the things that have helped me over many years of listening to podcasts, reading books, YouTube videos, whatever it may be, it's typically someone who I've resonated with in some sort of way, who have shared some sort of life experience that hit home for me and stuck with me and helped me continue to become the person I am today. So I hope that in some way that this does that for you as well. And yeah, fucking just give yourself more love and talk to yourself more nicely, because we only have us at the end of the day. We literally are stuck with ourselves, hopefully until we're 100, right? Like until that last breath. And you better make it a good place to live in. Your mind is always cycling with all of these thoughts and feelings. Like imagine we could replace it with good things and nurture it, and you know what you water grows. Imagine you could make your mind a really positive space that in turn just helped you flourish into the person you want to become and the life that you want to live. So that's the episode today, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know on Instagram at the Not So Average Betch and at For What For Who Podcast. I'm also on Twitter now at For What For Who _. And with that said, guys, I'll talk to you next week. Love yourself, love others, and wash your fucking hands. I'll see you on Monday.